Ethan really kicked us off well yesterday and gave us some good tools, some good things to think about, some good practicals. Well, we're going to continue that this morning, where we learn and get to practice a specific gospel sharing tool called the Three Circles. And I just wanted to introduce Caleb over here and Wesley over here. Yeah, Wesley just called them the Mullet Brothers, I think. And so they're looking good. And they just spent the last, they spent about 3 weeks in a program called Link, where they spent a lot of time just immersed in the gospel, getting trained, practicing this tool that they're going to share with you. And so I think they've got some great experience. And so listen up, and they're going to show you what they've been doing.
Yeah, so I was going to start. Again, my name is Caleb. I'm his son. Besides that, I was going to give a quick plug for Link. Link was really cool. Changed my life. Get to spend 3 weeks out there. We were in El Paso, Texas, down there, walking through malls, talking to people, sharing the gospel. Got to see some really cool stuff happen. Got to feel really close to God. Got to feel really close to really cool people like Wesley and many others. Got to see God do some crazy stuff. Just people, conversations he set up, people we got to talk to. It was really, really, really neat. So highly encourage it. If you want to just see God do some really cool stuff, you should be like, be awesome for you. Right now we're going to do it. We're just going to kind of walk through like a model conversation. You guys will learn more about how to do conversations and stuff tomorrow. But we'll just kind of role play it, act it out, what it would look like. Wesley coming up to somebody on the street, then getting to the gospel.
Yeah, absolutely. So this would be knocking on the door, meeting somebody in the street, meeting somebody in the yard. So this is kind of what we had learned yesterday, right? The care, prayer, share. A lot of, like Ritter just said, transitions and more of this actual beginning conversation we're going to talk a lot about tomorrow. But yeah, so I'm going to go through just a quick example. I'm walking. I've got my partner with me too. I just walk up and I go, "Hey there, man. I love your shoes."
Thanks,
bro. Absolutely. This is Tommy. I'm Wesley. It's nice to meet you. What's your name?
Caleb,
nice to meet you, Caleb. How's your day going, Caleb? That's awesome. Yeah, pretty good. So yeah, me and my friend Tommy here, we're just going around the neighborhood, just offering up prayer for people. Caleb, I know just like in light of how crazy the world is, seems like everybody's going through something to some extent. Is there anything that we could pray for you about?
Yeah, I got a family member dealing with some health problems.
Oh. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that, Caleb. Are you pretty close with this family member?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's rough. Absolutely. Do you mind if I ask what their name is?
It's my grandma.
Okay, your grandma? Okay, for sure. Would you mind if me and Tommy just prayed for your grandma right now?
Yeah,
absolutely. Okay, so we bow our heads. We can have your partner pray. I could pray. Maybe we could pray. Be like, yeah, well, thanks for letting us pray for you, Caleb. Really appreciate that. Once again, I'm so sorry. But I am curious, Caleb, is prayer something that you do?
Not too much these days. Mm. Used to do it when I was younger, kind of grew up in church stuff. Go to church every now and again.
Yeah. Absolutely. I have a pretty similar story when it comes to growing up in the church. My dad is actually a pastor, and you know, my mom was super involved with lots of church events and stuff. Grew up in Sunday school, was top of the class when it came to Bible trivia and stuff, you know. But when it came to my personal belief and me like choosing to pray and stuff, I kind of realized it was just something that I was doing because my parents were doing it. It's because we went to church as a family on Sunday. But then I came to this point where I was like, hey, if this is going to be such a big part of my life, I want it to be something that I choose to do. So I started doing some research, started praying on my own to God. I believe this is the truth. But it's that moment that I chose to make Jesus king of my life and make it my own thing, not just my parents' thing. That's what really was the turning point for me, a transformation of my faith. And that, you know, it changed, it cured so much of my depression that I was feeling, anxiety, directionlessness. But I'm curious, Caleb, I know you said you pray, you know, and stuff, but would you say that it's a personal choice you've made? Would you say that you have a story kind of like the one I just shared?
Not really. Mm-hmm. Don't really have a story or anything more than just kind of what I do.
Yeah, sometimes. Absolutely. Awesome. Thanks for being honest, man. Yeah. But yeah, so one thing for me, when it kind of came to the climax of me asking these questions, my dad shared a diagram with me that was really a blessing to my life and kind of helped me understand the gospel and what the church teaches in general. Okay. And me and Tommy have a diagram that's really similar to it. It doesn't take too long to share. Would you mind if I shared that with you real quick, Caleb?
Sure. Why not?
Absolutely. Okay, so yeah, so that what I just did right there is the interaction leading up to actually sharing the three circles. Just a couple things to highlight. Just really caring for Caleb. If he says, you know, his grandma was sick, just caring for his sick grandma, right? You're like, oh, thank you for sharing. Also, honesty. Like, people are going to be probably really honest, so just acknowledging, hey, thanks so much for being honest. But yeah, so that's kind of the transition, and then we'll jump into the actual three circles. We're going to keep on doing the role play. I'm going to try and not get distracted from the talking while drawing the three circles. But yeah, so we'd probably sit down. I'd open a notebook. Me and Tommy would, start talking to him. But it'd start like this. So this is the real part we're learning right here, is the three circles. We don't need to be thinking about this too much, but right here. Okay, so I'll start like this. Okay, Caleb, this first circle right here represents the world.
Okay.
Now, if you were to take a step back and a word or two describe the state of the world or maybe the state of humanity, what's a couple words that you'd use?
I would probably say chaotic. Like there's some good stuff, also some bad stuff all mixed in there together.
So you can write down what they say. Okay, chaotic. I think that's a great word. Some other words people have told me is similar, like crazy. Some people have said full of greed, full of pain, full of hurt.
Yeah.
Do you agree with those words?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah. Totally. So one word that I like to use, me and Tommy like to use, it kind of encapsulates all of those words, is the word broken. Would you agree, Caleb, that the world is broken?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, awesome. So I'm going to draw some cracks to this circle to represent how the world is broken, right? Now, Caleb, would you agree if something's broken, at one point you need to be whole? Something just doesn't start out as broken. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So the Bible actually says that God originally intended the world not to be chaotic, not to be crazy, full of pain and suffering, but to be perfect. And along with that, we also had a perfect relationship with him. So you can draw a little heart right there to represent how the world's perfect. Said, I'm not sure if that sounds familiar to you, but have you heard the story of Adam and Eve?
Yeah, I think I remember it from Sunday school or something.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, that's the perfect world that I'm talking about here. When God originally created the world, Adam and Eve had a perfect relationship with him. Now, Caleb, just tell me what you know about the story of Adam and Eve.
Yeah, they were the first people God made. Something about they ate this fruit that God told them not to eat, and then they had to leave the garden, I think it's called, and go away. And that's where all the other people came from.
Absolutely. So yeah, that's basically, you got it exactly. But yeah, so we can see right here, perfect world and the broken world. There's a big difference between these. Definitely the world around us isn't perfect. And the cause for that was the story of Adam and Eve. So like you said, God told them not to eat from that tree, but they chose to. And that what we call that going their own way, so going their own, own way, a simpler way, so disobeying God, a really simple way to describe that is just sin. So sin is the act of going against God and saying, hey God, I'm going to do my own thing, right? So there's a verse in the Bible that talks about sin, and it's Romans 6:23, I believe. And it says the wages of sin is death.
Okay.
So that act of sin, that act of going our own way, is what caused this disconnect. It's what caused the world from perfect to broken. And it's also what caused that disconnect between us and that perfect relationship with God. So it's that sin, that us going our own way, right?
Yeah.
So just going back to that verse, the wages of sin is death. Caleb, do you know what a wage is?
Yeah, it's like a salary or something.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, if I'm working 10 hours a day and get paid $10 an hour, right? $10 is my wage, right?
Yeah.
That's how much I get paid per an hour. And after working that 10-hour day, my boss pays me $100, right?
Yeah.
That's what I deserve. Not because my boss felt like giving me $100, right? Not because I just showed up to work with a good attitude, but that's my wage.
Yeah.
So the Bible says the wages of sin is death. So we'll come back to that. But yeah, I want to come back to this broken world. So this is the world that me and you live in right now, Caleb, right?
Yeah.
Would you say that you like the chaos and the pain and the suffering?
Not really. It's a little stressful.
Neither
sometimes.
Do I. Yeah, absolutely. Well, in a way, us being in this broken world, not liking it, we kind of try and fix it,
Yeah.
So a couple ways that people do that. I know for me, one way that I kind of try and fix the brokenness or escape the pain and suffering of the world is music. I love listening to music.
Yeah.
For some other people, it might be something like drugs and alcohol, right? That if they can escape the pain, the feeling, then the world would be better, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if there's something that you do. It doesn't necessarily need to be a bad thing, but just what's something that you do to kind of escape the chaos of the world?
Yeah, I would just say hanging out with friends.
Yeah.
Like be around other people.
Absolutely, for sure. Hanging out with friends is a great answer. But yeah, there's lots of different answers. But if we kind of look at each one of these things, like once again, like having friends isn't a bad thing at all. Listening to music isn't a bad thing at all. So all some of these things are good, some of these things are bad, but one thing that they all have in common is that they end at some point,
yeah.
Right? Like I can keep on listening to music. I can be listening to my favorite song and feel so good, but eventually the song ends, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, for people, drugs and alcohol, you eventually come off that high, right? Come off that buzz.
Yeah.
And then with friends, like even you're at your friend's house, you're having a great time, but you eventually need to leave your friend's house, right?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, like friendships don't last forever. So what this is, these all things are kind of like are like bungee cords. We might feel for a second, oh man, the world's perfect. I don't recognize the chaoticness, the pain, the suffering, but it just bounces right back, right?
Yeah.
So it never really fixes anything. We're trying to fix the world. We're trying to make it better, but there's no way we can. There's no solution that we can do by ourselves. Well, this is a pretty sad picture, right, Caleb?
Yeah.
We had this perfect world, and we ruined it because of our sin and going our own way, and now that's what caused this broken world. And even as we're trying to fix it, we just keep failing over and over again, right? Okay, well, God saw this picture too. He saw his creation, and he didn't like it either. And he wanted to give us a way out. So he did that. You might have heard this story too, but he did that by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to go and live a man's life. So he had an opportunity to sin, had an opportunity to go his own way, but he didn't. Mm. He ended up living a perfect life, yet he went up and died a sinner's death, a death that's for a punishment, right?
Yeah.
So he didn't just do that for no reason, though. Like, if we go back to this verse, it says Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, right?
Yeah.
The payment for sin is death. So that's why Jesus Christ came down from heaven, was to serve as the punishment. So to pay that payment on the cross. And then after he died, serving as that punishment, he also wanted to prove that he can beat death. So he rose from the dead 3 days later. So that thing, like, everything on earth at some point is going to die, right? Me and you will die at some point. The grass outside, the trees, is all stuck with death. Well, Jesus Christ beat that, proving that, you know, I'm more powerful than the thing that you're trapped by, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that's why Jesus came. He died and served as that punishment, but it's a gift, right? And you don't force a gift upon anybody. Just like in the Garden of Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, God gave them a choice, right? He didn't just force them to obey him. He gave them a choice. And in the same way, God is offering us a choice. He's not going to force this wonderful gift upon anybody. He's not going to make anybody accept this payment for their sin. So there's a choice that needs to be made, Caleb. That choice is you can either stay in this, you can keep on trying and fix the world yourself, relying on your own way, right? Which you know isn't going to work, which you've seen and it's been proven that it fails over and over again, or you can turn away from that, so turn away, and believe. So turn away from this old way of life of trying to fix it yourself and believe that Jesus Christ came down from heaven, died for your sins, and then beat death. And if you can make him king of your life in that, so turn, believe, and make him king of your life, then you can be saved. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, it says you will be made a new creation. In the eyes of God, the payment has been paid. You are no longer defined by this sin, this payment that you can't pay by yourself because it's been paid for by Christ. Does that make sense, Caleb?
Yeah.
Okay, so just one last thing before I end the diagram here. I'm going to draw two people, okay? And these two people represent every single person on earth, okay? Now, this person over here can really be at any spot when it comes to faith and religion. They could be an atheist, completely not believe in it, say, no God, the church is fake. It could be someone who's, you know, hey, I might be okay with God, I just don't know yet. This could even be somebody who goes to church regularly and prays regularly, but this person hasn't made that choice. right? This person represents someone who hasn't made that choice. And this person over here could have been anybody before. Could have been any of those people I mentioned. But the difference now is that they've made that choice. They're now a new creation. They're no longer defined by that payment that they can't pay. So Caleb, if I were to ask you, which person would you say best represents yourself? Person over here or the person over here?
Probably have to say that one.
Okay, absolutely. Can I ask you why you say that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I just resonated with a lot of those things. Like, just it's hard work, you know, trying to always escape the brokenness. And I definitely see that each day, just going back to those things and never quite getting out of it, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I really resonated with what you said there.
Yeah, so, and then the second question I want to ask is, which person do you want to be? Which side do you want to be on?
I want to be over there just because of the death part. I want the death to be taken care of.
Yeah. Well, Caleb, I will just ask you, based on this diagram, how would you say you go from there to there?
Well, you talked about just giving up on your own way of doing things and starting doing things God's way. So I think that's what seems like is the way to do it.
Yeah. So Caleb, would you say that, I mean, if you're over here right now, you want to be over here, and you seem to have a pretty good understanding of what it takes to get there, what's stopping you from doing it now?
Yeah, I think, I don't know, probably just don't understand things as well as I should. I just have so much more to learn.
Absolutely. Awesome. And that's a great spot to go, hey, we should talk more, we should meet up, we should open the Bible. But that's the three circles, guys. So really, this is kind of a lot. This is kind of a lot. Try to keep it simple. I'm sorry if I rambled on a couple spots and it didn't seem clear. But really, most of this, it does come down to just this last question. Like, if you're having, like, you still want to be engaging them the whole time. You don't just want to be preaching to them. But, like, all the questions that you ask can kind of be fit into categories except this last one. So I just want to talk about this real quick. You can just put this in your notes. There's three answers that people can give when you ask this last question, right? If you've gone through the whole conversation, done the diagram, there'll be three different answers. So first one will be like Caleb's. He acknowledges that he's over here, right? He can see why he's over here. The second is that they're over here. And you guys saw me how to kind of respond to this first one, but the second one, this is somebody who says they're saved, and then you do the same thing. You say, oh, why do you say you're over there? If they say, oh, yeah, I have turned and believed, I have repented of my old ways, then that means that that's accurate. But then the most common one that I've seen and that us linkers have seen is somebody saying, I'm somewhere here in the middle, right? I'm somewhere here in the middle. And that's really hard. That depends on your different responses. I don't know, Caleb, do you have a good response off the top of your head for somebody who's in the middle?
Yeah, I think I would just go to the classic question of how sure are you that you're going to go to heaven when you die? Because that's just such a good way of gauging where they're really at. And if they say they're in the middle or if they say they're over there, but they're not completely sure that they're going to heaven, then you're like, wait a minute, you say you believe this, but it seems like there's still some doubt in your mind. So that's just where I would go. Like, okay, but are you sure? Usually.
Absolutely. And then that's the great part of this is that, well, we have a way for you to be sure. So if they say, hey, I'm in the middle, you know, I'm at 70% out of 100. You know, if I were to die today, I'm at 70% that I would go to heaven. I'm like, wait, do you want to be at 100%?
Yeah.
And really, the Bible does say you're either zero or 100. Do you have a question?
What is the lower left there, the person with the lines around them?
Yeah, sorry. So that's a new creation. I should have written this. This is good. You can even say 2 Corinthians 5. So this represents how your identity is new. So before, in here, the things that you were defined by was the brokenness of the world. The things you were defined by were your own way and your sin, the mistakes you've made. But by through accepting the payment, in God's eyes, your new identity is a new creation. So you're a blank slate, white as snow. People do ask that too. They kind of clarify like, okay, what does it actually mean to be a new creation? But in God's eyes, the payment's been paid. So you no longer need to try and fix it yourself because Jesus has done that on the cross for you. That answers the question.
You have any Anything else? Or
I think that's it. Yeah. I think we can jump into it.
Cool. So we're going to practice a little bit. Practice makes perfect for sure. I think the only thing I would say just as you're practicing is that, like we've talked about this whole time, when you go out with the gospel, it's all dependent on the fact that you're trusting that God has already been working in this person's life. Nothing we can say or do or present to change their mind. Ultimately, we are going out in the faith that God has been doing great things. God's been preparing this person. So I would just tell you all, you have the freedom to genuinely care for the person, to take an interest to them. I think when I first learned this, I felt the pressure of, I have to check off all these things and make sure it all sounds great. I have to get to all the points. And I don't think that's true. At the end of the day, God's been working on this person. We're just God's servants, his messengers. We're in his hands to meet this person where we're at. So yeah, there's grace there. You're not going to do it perfect ever. So yeah, just trust God with the conversations. But yeah, as far as practicing goes, real quick, could I have everybody who's done Link stand up real quick? Sweet, bunch of people. So yeah, if you're not feeling super confident or if you still have questions, find one of these people. They've done it a lot. They'd be super willing to help you out. But the way we're going to go about this is get with another person, get in pairs, find somebody. And one of you, whoever is more confident, go through it once. And after you've been through it once, we're going to come up back up and ask questions. So we'll kind of give you all a chance to go through it. And then once you've gone through it, if any questions come up, if anything was unclear, if you went through it and you're like, tripped over this didn't work, we'll be up here, you can ask.
Yeah, awesome, thanks Caleb. And then just the last thing that I'll leave with you, this is a Link catchphrase, but it says, everything is worth doing poorly at first. Yeah. So make mistakes, learn from them. It's, if you got it down right away, I would say that you're lying. So yeah. You can have time to practice, now's a great time to practice, but don't be nervous if you make a couple of mistakes.
Then we'll be back up, questions.
Yeah, questions. All right, guys, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Okay, we're gonna do questions now. Hopefully you gotta finish it or at least practice the majority of it. But yeah, we'll go ahead and raise hands and me and Caleb will answer to the best of our ability. So go ahead and ask questions.
Yeah, totally. For me, yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. So just the question was, how do you transition from praying for somebody to sharing the gospel? Probably it depends on the person a little bit. For me, I kind of tend to, you start with, is prayer, is faith important to you? And then I kind of try to gauge like, is it working out for you? Like, is this really, how important is this to you? Particularly, I probably already mentioned it, but just asking the question, if you died tonight, how sure are you that you would go to heaven? Or one that's I like is, if you die tonight and you stand before God and he says, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you tell him? And I feel like that's a good question of, then you get to gauge like, okay, they're doing this stuff, they're praying, they're whatever. Are they actually trusting it? Like, are they actually confident that this will work, that this will get him into heaven? And then you go, well, you're kind of sure that you're getting into heaven. I'm 100% sure. And I have this diagram that really communicates clearly why I'm so sure. You're 70% sure, whatever they say. Well, I'm 100% positive that if I died tonight, I would stand before God. And this diagram has given me that confidence. Can I share that with you? Does that help? Cool. Josh. Yeah, so the question was, what if the person doesn't really care about the brokenness of the world? What if they think the world's pretty good? They think they're a pretty good person. How do you bring that conviction of sin and judgment? You wanna?
Yeah, awesome. So we have something called the good person test, and this is a little thing that you can add on to your three circles. So I'll put it here, but this is a good person test. So basically what you're going to do is ask the first question of, do you deserve hell? So you ask that person. So if I in my conversation with Caleb, if I'm talking to him about sin and the wages of sin is death, and then we can go, hey, so death, that also means hell. Mm-hmm. Caleb, do you think you're deserving of hell?
Not really. I mean, there's some people out there who are much worse people than I am.
So that's a great example, possibly like fits in with the optimistic atheist. So what we do is we're just going to use a couple of the Ten Commandments. Okay, so what we'll do is you'll be like, okay, well, Caleb, I'd love to just show you a couple of the sins that the Bible talks about, okay? Yeah. So in the Bible, God gave his people a list of rules to help them live good lives, to be good people.
Yeah.
And those were the Ten Commandments. You can write 10, and then we'll just go through a couple, okay, Caleb? So it says, thou shalt not steal. So I know I did this as a little kid, stealing cookies from the cookie jar. Some other things I've done, I take too much people's time. Sometimes I'll take the spotlight from people. Would you say there's any of those ways that you've stolen before?
Yeah, probably the same thing.
Absolutely, okay. So someone who steals something, what does that make them?
Thief.
Yes, absolutely. So me and you are both thieves. And then you also, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not bear false witness. I know I do this. I will just add a little lie into a story that I'm telling to make it sound more exciting, right? To grab people's attention more. I also tell myself a lot of lies too, that, you know, I'm not worth being loved. You know, nobody really cares for me, stuff like that. Would you ever say that you've lied before?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, absolutely. So someone who lies, what does that make them?
A liar.
Yeah. So a liar. Okay. Another one, Jesus talks, in the New Testament, he says that if someone stores up hatred for somebody in their heart, it's the same as committing murder. Now, I know I do this. I might be somebody that I know in person. It might be somebody I see on the news. But I store up hatred for people in my heart. Caleb, would you say that you do that?
Yeah,
absolutely. So Jesus says that's same as murder. You are, and if we really dig back deep into most of the causes of murder, it's hatred for somebody, right?
Sure.
It's acting on the hatred. Well, Jesus says the heart posture is what's important. So that's just as bad, storing up hatred for somebody in your heart. And then another thing that Jesus says is that, you know, if you lust for a woman with your eyes, it's the same as committing adultery. Mm. I know that I've done this, you know, maybe I'll see a beautiful woman or something online, but I'll lust with my mind and my eyes. Would you say that you've ever done that, Caleb?
Definitely.
Okay, yeah. Well, Jesus says that's the same as committing adultery. So just by your and my admission, we didn't even go over all of those Ten Commandments God gave his people. But by me and your admission, we are a thieving, lying, murdering adulterer, right?
Yeah.
So I want to kind of change up my first question, Caleb. Said that you don't think you deserve hell, but with these things, do you think you deserve heaven? Now, what would you say to that? Do you think you're deserving heaven, knowing that you are all of these things, Caleb?
Yeah, well, still say I'm a pretty good person, but at the same time, I mean, God's the one who lets me into heaven, so if that's his standard, then it seemed like I've messed up in some ways.
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen this work super well. I've seen people go from, you know, I'm like one of the best people that I know. And then you go, okay, well, you know, something that I just heard the other day was that, you know, you could be the most charitable person, the best person in the world. You give a whole bunch of charity, but then you get convicted of murder. Does the judge go, oh man, you're a really great person all the other time, so I'm just going to forgive you for that murder, right? You're not guilty of that murder, right? Like, you'd be like, what is going on here? This person is still a murderer. So even how good these good things that you might do, the judge who is like the justice that you deserve for murdering somebody is not just going to be fixed by you being a good person before. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. Does that make sense, guys? Is that a good example to answer the question? And you can use any of the Ten Commandments, really. I think almost everybody will admit that they're guilty of every single one of them to some extent. But yeah,
and real quick, I would add, when we go through the story of Adam and Eve, just kind of pointing out, it was one sin that did it for Adam and Eve. God gave them one rule, and they broke that one rule once, and that caused the separation from God. So just going back to that, being like, one did it for them. So.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Yeah. Other questions?
What if you meet like a really hardcore atheist, but that still wants to learn and kind of just like tries to prove everything wrong that you say?
So are you asking if somebody's being really, really argumentative with you?
Yeah, that's tough. First, pray a lot that God would soften their heart, even as you're talking to them, just be in prayer that God would change them. I do think I've seen it many times of somebody might start out pretty argumentative, but as you keep answering questions, as you keep answering them graciously and compassionately, just as we learned from what Travis said, sometimes they'll start to change their mind a little bit, because I feel like somebody like that has this picture in their mind of what God is like, what Christians are like. They probably see God as pretty far off. God doesn't have anything to do with anything. But as you start to just answer their questions graciously, and the Bible says that a soft answer turns away wrath. I've seen people, it gives them some pause of like, wow, this person cares about me. They care enough to take the time to answer me. Even if you don't have the answers to all their questions, at the end of the day, we're just trying to be Jesus to people. And I've seen that, yeah, even if you don't have all the answers, still that example of graciousness can go a long way. And God can really work through that. So, yeah. I don't know.
Agree.
Anything else? Mind the front? Totally. Yeah, the question is, why did God let the world get so broken? Why did God let sin mess up everything? How would you answer that?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think it's really cool to point out, God gives us a choice. The phrase that my mom told me when I was a little kid was, God didn't just create a whole bunch of, like, fearing robots. So sin isn't something that God did. It's something that we partook in. So it's a really good way to just enter in the conversation of like, hey, this is us going our own way. God didn't create these perfect robots that were just meant for worshiping him. He wanted to give them a choice. He wanted to give them the choice to choose to worship him, to choose to have a relationship with him. And sin entered the world because that's all that sin is going against God. And that in order for them to give a choice to love God, you also have to give them the choice to go against God. And that's what sin is. And then you can kind of reconnect it to with this and go, hey, well, in the same way, God's giving you a choice to come back to him. He's giving you a choice to acknowledge that you messed up and to follow him again.
Yeah.
I don't know if that, does that answer your question? Cool.
Back there. Yeah, that's a hard one. I think usually they probably don't. Yeah, the question is, you present heaven and hell to them, and they're like, don't really care about heaven, don't really want to go there. One of my best friends is actually in that spot. He's told me, he's like, what's the point? And I think usually what I just answer to that is, usually they don't really have the right idea of what heaven is, who God is. Because at the end of the day, heaven is being with God. It's not sitting in the clouds with a harp for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. No, heaven is being close to God. Heaven is talking to God like I would talk to Wes right now. Like, it's just being close to God. So I would kind of present that picture of it and just try to get at What do they think of God? What do they think of this heaven that God has given us? And then ask them again, because at the end of the day, we aren't trying to convince people to sit on a harp with cloud 1,000 years. We're convincing people to be with God. We're trying to, by God's grace, convince people that God is the best thing, that Jesus is the beautiful one, like Steele said. So I'd emphasize that part of heaven, that heaven is where God is and hell is where God isn't at the end of the day. That's what defines them.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Maybe one more question, and then we want to be able to just practice one more time after we finish questions. So yeah.
One more.
Make it a good one.
Right there.
What if somebody doesn't believe in God?
That's hard. I mean, as so much of this is like, it's not just trying to fit people into a box. I like that. It's not necessarily, it's not always super clear if this person's a red, yellow, or a green light. So that just comes with conversation. If they really, truly don't believe in God, then I think that's, maybe this isn't quite ready to be something to be shared right away. If they don't believe in God, then I think you just kind of diagnose, like, hey, how do you come to that conclusion? Like, what makes you not believe in God and stuff like that? But this is really something that's like a message of hope, too. So, like, it's really hard. But just talk to the person about that. Usually it's not just, hey, I refuse to believe in God. There's usually something behind it.
Yeah.
And since this is a story of hope, usually that stuff that's behind it is some sort of hurt.
Yeah.
So a hope story can do a lot in somebody who's really hurting.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I just ask questions. Ask them, hey, why? How do you come to that conclusion? Yeah. I don't know if you have anything to add.
No, totally. Last Thursday, I actually talked to a guy who was in that spot. I go up to him, ask if I can pray for him. And he's like, no, I'm an atheist, don't believe in God. And the question I kind of asked him was, for me, God brings me a lot of love and joy and peace and meaning and purpose. Where do you find those in your life? Where do you find peace and hope and joy? And he was like, I don't really know. And I was like, well, I find something that's given me a lot of that joy and meaning and hope has been this diagram. Can I present that to you? So at least you get my side of the story of where I find all of those things. Then I got to share the 3 circles with him. So I would just kind of ask, okay, they don't believe in God. They're not religious or whatever. Where do they find purpose? Where do they find joy? Because just like Travis was talking about, God is our source of all those things. So if you don't have God, you got to find him somewhere. Then I would just go, here's where it's at.
Yeah, they call this a story of hope for a reason. We're trying to give people hope at very least, you know, in sharing this. Like at worst case scenario, we give them something to think about. Totally.
Yep. Well, one last thing. We have a bunch of 3 circle stickers to put on your phone, water bottle, face. I don't care. Come up, grab a sticker. I found this really helpful. I have one on the back of my phone. That way, wherever I'm at, I can just pull it out and talk to people. Had some cool opportunities of, wow, you're not a Christian. Here's the gospel. Got to share it. But
yeah, and if you have it like on your water bottle, you're like, oh, what happens next? What's the next part? Then you can kind of like peek at it, and you have your little cheat sheet on your water bottle.
Yes, sir. Thanks, y'all.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.